it's Monday, May 8th, and you're listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris, and this is show number 54. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you'd like to send us an email, audio is welcome. Videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. With us today, we have Keith.
Deliciously sweet with musky undertones and a soft buttery-like consistency. Name that fruit!
Wow, dude, that's pretty good. Bob.
I enjoy Keith's musky aroma.
And welcome back, Tom.
Chris Palladino, we meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I met you, I was but the learner, but now I am the master. And I had to go write term papers.
You're not done yet?
It was due at noon today. I'm at the point now where it's like, why start now? It's already late.
No, man, I told him, drive out to Parma, and I'll punch him in the face, and he can say he was mugged.
Can't you just say you were mugged? Do you need a broken nose to prove it?
And by the way, for those listeners, the fruit described in previous opening statement was a papaya.
All right, what are we going to talk about this week? Well, we have a lot to talk about. We have new at Dream Station. We have what we are playing. We have an Xbox Live Marketplace content rant. We have the DS Lite officially announced in the United States. Oblivion has been re-rated by the ESRB. Gold Farmers by Alakazam. We have an Xbox 360 review of Final Fantasy, what is that, 11? Final Fantasy Who Cares? Buy a PC, not a console. That's a topic at Tom's request. We have our forum question, which, yes, I know, I forgot to put up the forum question. And lastly, our mailbag.
Mailbag!
Next topic.
So I mailed out the Land of Legends contest winner games with your little piece of paper that was signed. Let me know your thoughts on the game when you guys get it. I am interested. I did forget to post the poll topic. I haven't mentioned. I have been uber busy. I'm switching jobs and stuff. So Tom's request, we have a couple of issues over the last couple shows that Tom wanted to address.
Don't blame this on me.
We just wanted to rib you while you're here that X-Fire was sold for a whole bunch of money.
I know. I fired off an email to my partner in crime, Chad, and I complained. But that's okay, because you know what? I'm going to show them. They've not heard the last of MC Frags
a
lot.
So there will be an announcement at some point in the future here. Tom's take on the Wii. He actually likes it.
You mean the console formerly known as Revolution.
Console formerly known as the Revolution.
Well, Wii, you know, it's silly and whimsical, and it's from a company that wants to be known as silly and whimsical. And second, it showed tremendous marketing savvy on Nintendo's part, because it's been all the buzz since they first announced it. I mean, they've completely taken the spotlight away from Sony going into E3. Everyone's talking Wii. So, I don't know. I just think it's going to win.
Everybody's just talking Wii.
So that's my take. I just think it's been a win for them. It fits what they want to be.
While we're talking about the Nintendo, the GameCube price drop is rumored. I don't know if I already talked about this or not, so I'll be brief. Basically, it's going to drop from $100 down to $80. There's no official word, no official details. We talked about EA being sued for overtime last week. Yes, Activision is also being sued for overtime payments that they did not pay. So welcome to the club, Activision. You're now hanging with the big boys. And Liquid Cheese on our very own forums has started this task of going through all of our past shows, getting the show number and the timestamp of the funny parts. And I just wanted to say congratulations. We owe you something. I'll have to think of something good. Just send me an email.
Mold of your choice.
Send me an email with which systems you actually own. There was a question also if I kept the unedited shows. The answer is, on the record, no. Even if I kept them, I couldn't give them out because they were edited for a reason, so you won't be able to.
Except on the special edition DVD for $19.99.
Right. Keith and I were also talking today. I decided why I don't like Auto Assault. First of four reasons. My machine is not beefy enough to handle it. Number two, there is too much chaos and too much Twitch involved. And number three, I haven't noticed a power scale yet. Bob and Keith are way higher level than I, but I can't really tell. It's just things blowing up and I'm not sure who's doing it or how. And lastly, the most important to me, there's not enough teamwork. I don't feel like we were a team. I don't feel like it's us against them. Whereas in City of Heroes and World of Warcraft, you were definitely all fighting for the same cause and you had to get each other's back and stuff. This is just too frantic. So that's my real quick reasoning why I said I would come back to it.
I'd like to agree with you on all those points. I like it because there's a ton of chaos. I like it because there's a lot of Twitch. But yes, there is no teamwork, and I wish there was some.
And that's my big bummer.
Plan for next patch and all this crap. There's supposed to be a bunch of updates, but for right now, yeah, I totally agree. We don't speculate on this show if it's not there right now. The game doesn't have it, so.
A couple Xbox items here. There was an Xbox Live update. You can manage your stuff, like friends and messages, through the website interface. Just go to Xbox.com. I tried it out, and I dig it. I can now send Xbox Live messages while I am at work. I can say that because I'm not going to be there much longer. And it's a lot easier to type on your keyboard. It's getting to the point now where I want it to be fully featured. I want to be able to record and send files and send pictures and stuff through the web interface. So we'll see how it goes.
Computer!
Yeah, I know. Also, Xbox. Xbox Live is in a full effect for a free weekend. Verizon has sponsored it, and you get all the E3 stuff. A lot of cool trailers and demos and stuff. And I will say I use the word cool. I haven't actually verified that the content is cool, so you have been warned. There are demos and trailers and E3 types of stuff. They are doing this game with fame. Basically, they have these celebrities, and they go on Xbox Live, and you play them, and if you beat them, you get a T-shirt or whatever. So the folks that they're going to have, the celebrities this week, we have Jenny McCarthy, we have Method Man, we have Dave Navarro and his new band. I wanted to check the date on when this news was posted, because I thought we weren't in 1995 anymore.
Oh, dude, that's weak.
I mean, like, MC Hammer and Pamela Anderson and MacGyver and Dennis Rodman, they must have all been booked. And the guys from Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots, they were busy too. Where are the current celebrities, like?
They're on MTV.
Okay, who cares? Jenny McCarthy, let's keep this a celebrity-free show.
Jenny McCarthy, who gives a crap, honestly? Dude, I think Method Man could own. All he does is sit around and play video games all day. He might actually be a challenge. He's got tons of money. He doesn't have to work or nothing.
I'll give you Method Man. Jenny McCarthy, come on. Full Auto 2 will be a PlayStation exclusive. For those of you who played Full Auto 1, this is actually a boon, unless you're a Sony owner, because that game really, really bagged. So I hope that it never comes out on the Xbox as part 2. And lastly, I guess we had some Call of Duty 2 action on Friday night through the DreamStation forums and stuff. I missed it. Crom hit me up a message on the Xbox Live and said, hey, but I have stuff going on Friday night. So we'll schedule it again, and I'll let everybody know.
What? You do something other than game on Friday nights?
Plays volleyball.
Oh, Chris.
Next topic.
What are we playing? Keith, what are the top three games that you played the most in the last 7 days?
Auto Assault, World of Warcraft, and Tetris for the DS.
And Bob, what were you playing the most in the last 7 days?
Auto Assault, that's all. Though Auto Assault this week with a gamepad. Apparently it supported it.
Bob, do you have one of those 360 gamepads for your PC?
No. The gamepad I currently am using is an Axis pad that I bought when I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
Tom, what have you been playing in the last 7 days? Anything?
Instead of writing my term paper, I've been playing Battlefield 2 for the PC, Counter-Strike Source for the PC, and a mod for the original Half-Life called Natural Selection, which I'm really hot on. Real quick story. Those guys who did that mod actually got someone to invest in them. They got some venture capital, and they're calling themselves Unknown Worlds, and their next version of Natural Selection, they want to release as a retail game, and it's going to be based on the Source engine, but I'm really looking forward to it, so best of luck to them. I wonder if I contact them, if I can get an interview.
Top three most played games in the last 7 days would be Auto Assault for the PC, City of Heroes for the PC, and Doom 3 for the Xbox. I played some co-op with Master Chief 09387 something something something. His name's Josh. Phil will be invited into the conference here. Are you with us, or are you saying hello and then leaving?
I don't know. You guys start?
What were you playing this week, Phil? I'm
playing this wonderful game called Kenneth Avenue Crossing, where you totally destroy your front yard, and you spend days and days raking out the dirt and the rocks and everything. I am really close to leveling and throwing down grass seed.
So you've actually played no games this week, huh?
I might have played an hour of Warcraft, and that was it.
And booted off the show.
Next topic.
And we have new at Dream Station. We have a PC review of the game Condemned. We also have NIS America event coverage with pictures and a little write-up and stuff on our website. Check it out, dreamstation.cc.
Next topic.
Xbox Live Marketplace content is our first real topic here. Call of Duty 2 for the 360, I think we said last week that it was going to have some new downloadable maps. It turns out that there's going to have a bunch of them, and they're going to come in waves. Three of them are free. The next four maps are $400 in a bundle. I'm sorry, 400 points, not $400. 400 points for Microsoft is $5 if you were going to buy it with US dollars. And then in July, an even bigger bundle for 900 points, which is about $11.25, you will get five more maps. So let's add that up all together. So four maps and then an additional five maps. So a total of nine maps for what? Almost $20? $16, $17?
That's sad.
My message to you is don't buy this crap, dude. This is what all of us were worried about when we talked about the Xbox Live Marketplace, was that you pay $60 for a game and then they exponentially increase the price. They're basically trying to figure out what the market value of a map is. And by all of you people buying these maps, what you're going to do is you're going to set the standard. EA has already come out when asked directly about why are games $60. They said that's what the marketplace will pay. So why would we lower the price? If they're going to pay 60, I mean, let's leave it at 60. Let's not lower it to 50.
And the sheep will purchase the maps for this thing as well.
I'm okay with a couple maps for a couple bucks, but I mean, this is lame.
No, it's not okay.
I'm with Keith. I think that's just a reason for them to half the game.
Exactly. You will release Tiger Woods with six courses. If you want more, you got to buy them.
No, I'm not saying that I'm one map for $1 or anything like that. If you're going to give me a big, large expansion pack type dose of content.
But they're not going to, because people are going to buy one map for $1.
The bigger problem is this was a launch day title. So at this point, it's what, 3-6 months old, whatever. And the interest in the game is waning, to be honest. So by generating interest in this game, by releasing releasing new maps, you're making the people who are loyal to your product pay for the new stuff. That's a total slap in the face.
Well, you know, Chris, there's this game called Call of Duty 2 on the PC that has user-created maps all over the internet that you could download for free. But apparently we don't like that platform anymore, so...
It's a total slap in the face. So yeah, and Tom's right, you get all this free stuff for the PC. Even Halo 2, they did a pretty cool thing, and this is how they should be done, is if you want these maps today, it'll cost you $20. If you just wait 3 months or 4 months or whatever, you get them all for free. So that those crazy diehards can spend the money, they make their money, and the general public can be like, all right, dude, it's really not that big of a deal, I'll wait the 3 months. In English, you're paying money for the honor to advertise for companies, you're paying money to companies who should be...
answering their phones.
Yeah, that should be answering their phones.
Well, how profession.
Yeah, so I'm done. The phone ringing threw me all off, so let's move on.
Wait, speaking of Marketplace Live, are they ever going to have non-gaming content delivered through Live?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's the whole deal with all this E3 stuff, is that they're having, in addition to demos and trailers, they're supposed to have, like, E3 coverage and stuff that you can download this week. And
have you been able to put a bug in the ear of our insider into the Xbox marketing team and say, hey, we would like to be perhaps a pilot, should they ever do non-gaming content?
Bug been done planted.
Next topic.
The DS Lite has been officially announced in the United States. Yay. June 11th, it will cost you $129.99 for a white Nintendo DS Lite. I played with the DS Lite, and I have to retract part of what I said when it was first announced. I had a rant about, you know, I'm tired of Nintendo rehashing all the same crap with a slightly better design and breaking something like the Game Boy SP when it was released. It was a much better system, but they got rid of the port for the headphones, so then you had to buy a $5 adapter so your headphones worked. I still stand by that statement that I'm tired of them rehashing stuff, but I said I wasn't going to buy it. I played with it. I dig it. I'm actually going to buy it. It is much better. It is a difference between a Game Boy and a Game Boy Advanced SP. It's so much brighter. It's so much crisper and clearer.
This lettuce or a game
only 5 calories.
One thing interesting here is that Australia, country known for getting stuff that we get here in the United States like 2 years late, they're getting the DS before we do. They're getting it 10 days before we do. Anyways, it was going to be $200 in Australian currency. I don't know what their currency is called. Dingoes. 200 dingoes.
Wow.
And that's about $152 if you convert it over to United States. If you're from Australia, let us know what your currency is. Is it just...
It's a dollar.
Australia, we still like you.
Next topic.
Oblivion has been re-rated by the ESRB. This is the big news segment of the week. So yes, folks, another Take-Two Interactive game has been re-rated.
Are you going to mention the unspeakable in this?
Has he thrown in his 2 cents?
Yes. Just, you know, pretend I didn't say that.
Elder Scrolls Oblivion used to be rated T for teen. Now it's rated M for mature. So according to the ESRB, they're the governing ratings body here in the States. The game has, and this is a quote, more detailed depictions of blood and gore than they were considered in the original rating, as well as the presence of a locked out art file or skin that, if accessed through a third-party modification to the PC version of the game, allows the user to play with topless versions of female characters. The key words in there is third-party mod and PC version. And also on the bandwidth wagon here, Leland Yee jumped over the ESRB saying, look, they can't police themselves, the rating is out there, and parents aren't going to be aware that now the game has been re-rated as mature. We can kind of attest to this, and Bob. I mean, when you're doing...
you know, us and Bob.
Hey, thanks, guys, at the show.
Where I was going, this is, you're the expert in this situation due to your gaming art skinning modeling background. When you're doing a game, and you have your skeletal animations, and you have your models and everything else, is it make it a lot easier to do a naked skin and then put clothing and texture and stuff on top of it, or is this just a crock?
No, depending on how you're modeling, but if you're doing pretty complicated characters, yeah, you do the body first and then put the clothes on top of it.
Now, we can all agree that we don't necessarily need nipples and areolas on it.
Depends what the character's going to look like. I don't know what the chicks look like. I mean, if you're just going to have some girl in a bikini, you know, it's just like what the comic books do. They draw everybody naked, then just color them in like they're wearing costumes.
The game developer replied to this whole change rating thing, and they said that we, Bethesda Software, made what we believe was an accurate, full, and comprehensive submission on Oblivion to the ESRB. Months before the game's release, nothing was hidden from the ratings agency. Bethesda was like, dude, we're not going to contest the ratings.
I keep thinking you say Mephisto.
Mephisto will not contest the ratings chains, being the Dark Lord.
So they were just like, yeah, dude, whatever. I mean, come on. Already we had the hot coffee thing. Bethesda is not going to try and fight this one. They're like, dude, whatever. Our game has sold millions of copies. We're laughing all the way to the bank. This was a third-party mod. Some dude, you know, unlocked some file using a hex editor or something in the PC version. So
what happens with that? Do they have to...
They're not doing a recall, but what they are going to do is anything moving forward will be labeled as M for mature.
I'd be interested if anyone actually bought or not bought. Have we ever asked that poll question? Has anyone ever bought anything or not bought anything based on the ESRB rating?
No, but that's a good poll question.
Or have your parents ever, like, not bought you a game because of the ESRB rating?
Tom's boy, John Romero, said, "Modders are screwing up our industry. They're supposed to be helping. In 1993, we opened up all our data to the industrious and ambitious folks out there who want to see what it's like to be able to make their favorite game a little more like what they'd want. Awesome example of this philosophy has brought us Counter-Strike, which was a mod for Half-Life." Romero thinks that game companies will start to encrypt, make hidden, or make much more difficult to get at game content so that modders will have a big, big pain in the rear end getting new stuff, changing code, tweaking it out. I disagree, personally. I mean, the Unreal Tournament, they give you the scripting language. They give you all the stuff. Look at all the guys who want maps for any first-person shooter. Most of them release the map editors now. I think that once it becomes mainstream where people are trying to, you know, look at Quake. How many naked skins were there in Quake? How many naked skins were there in UT? I think that they're making a big deal of nothing. I will agree with him, though, when he's saying that, you know, the game companies and the ESRP are getting it wrong, shouldn't be changing game ratings based on some third-party tinkering. I think a good place to put this sort of stuff, like, you know, when you go online and it says content may change online or game rating may change online or whatever that warning is, basically so when people swear at you, when your game is rated E for everyone, they're not held accountable. Just put it in the EULA. I mean, nobody reads those things anyways. If someone modifies this program with a third party, the current rating doesn't stand or something.
I vow that if I ever create a video game, I'm not going to submit it to the ESRB, even if that means I don't get on the shelves of Walmart. So there.
The last thing I will say about the subject is that Battlefield 2 is being modded by Al-Qaeda. Did you guys hear about this?
No, that was fake. It was on Boing Boing that the journalist didn't know what he was talking about. He actually saw, like, that's a non-issue.
Why can't the Al-Qaeda make a game?
Supposedly, they're modding Battlefield 2 so that instead of being one of the Americans or the MEC or whatever, you're an Al-Qaedian. You're a Muhammad Jihad guy, and you're killing Americans because your village was wiped out by a napalm shell or something back in the day.
If you play the Japanese, you're killing Americans. What the difference?
I know.
You know what? I wouldn't mind saying that because you know the Special Forces guy is going to be a guy running around with all kinds of C4 strapped to his body.
Demolition expert. It's just like a dude with a stick of dynamite.
That's the only class. Their kill ratio is, they're always zero because for every guy they kill, they die.
Regardless of this fact, I think the whole point of this is that something has to happen very soon to ensure that game developers are not being held responsible for some pinhead putting a booby into their game and then some guy either, you know, resubmitting ratings. I'm sure it's going to cost money. You got to change your box art. You got to put stickers or something on the boxes that are already on store shelves. And it really isn't fair. So I think what we should do is take all of the Disney games and make all of the characters naked because Disney has enough money and they'll actually go ahead and fight it and say, like, dude, we never made the Little Mermaid naked, like mini game where she's shucking oysters.
Shucking oyster. I like that.
Next topic.
Gold Farmers by Alakazam.
Oh, God.
Alakazula-bippity-boola-boppity-boppity-Alakazam.
Alakazam is one of these MMO conglomerate websites, like the Planet websites, like Planet Diablo and Planet UT and all these planets. Alakazam has little tree sites for World of Warcraft and then one for EverQuest and then one for Final Fantasy or whatever. These sites were bought up by IGE. IGE is a gold-selling website. I think we might have talked about them a little bit back, where you can buy gold in-game currency for real-life money. The fans of the Zam, that's what they're going to be rebranded here, so we're being hip. The fans of the Zam websites are mad because they don't like the gold sellers. They view them as slimy pigs, and it's a conflict of interest because these are the guys that are ruining their MMOs, and now all of a sudden they bought their favorite MMO information websites.
What's the implications of a gold farming buying this network of sites? You have a network of gaming sites. Fine. Now you have this company that's involved in making money off of MMO games.
In a borderline, let's say, illegal or unscrupulous manner.
I just wouldn't trust their strategy guides is all. Gonna try to get you as broke as possible.
500 gold from us!
A good way to get the best equipment you can get is to give us your credit card number. Maybe they'll include gold in their monthly subscription fee to their site. You know, better than, like, you know, IGN just giving you a hassle.
Yeah, this is not an issue.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you're a fool if you're paying for that crap anyway, but
the game shouldn't lend itself for something like that to even be worthwhile. I mean, the fact that we need to rely on these strategy strategy sites so much, even like find a store in game is just annoying, and I don't even play games that where that's even an issue anymore. And then with the gold farming, again, it's a problem for the devs. If you have somebody in here who's able to just grind away and get a bunch of money, and then it actually benefits them. I don't understand why it even benefits them, because half of these games have level limits on all the equipment you can buy anyway. I mean, there's only so good you can get, so.
I guess we're done talking about lame games that require you to grind in gold farm, huh?
Next topic.
So we thought we were done talking about games that require you to grind and gold farm, when in fact, here comes the review for Final Fantasy XI. Like that segue?
That was not bad.
I had to review this steaming pile of turd for the Xbox 360. When I was given the game, I just wanted to snap it in half and throw it in the garbage and not even put it in my Xbox. But no, I'll be a trooper. So I installed this game. Yes, folks, I said installed this game on my console. See, two things I never want to hear in a sentence ever again. It took like an hour to install their little play online viewer garbage that has like check email, look at friends.
Oh, and it's got the card game. Don't forget the card game.
Tetra Master, very important part of the game. I install that for an hour. Then I take an hour to download the patch for that.
Patch?
Yeah, there's a patch for the Play Online viewer.
God.
So far we've wasted. Then I install the game. That takes about 45 minutes or so. Then, of course, I have to download the patch for the game. When all is said and done, before I can actually play Final Fantasy, a game that I have no desire at all to play to begin with, I've wasted 3 or 4 hours on installing this thing, sucking up over half of my hard drive space.
So you guys rag on the PC all you want, but you know what? It's coming to you, baby.
Yeah, it is.
It's already here. So let's pretend for just a moment, okay, 4 hour install. Let's just put that aside now. So then I go in and I have my little IDs that you have to use. They're pretty sweet over there at Squeenix where you get one character, and if you want more than one character, if you want an alt, it will cost you an extra $1 per month.
You want that character, you pay $1!
Yeah. When you join the game, you don't pick what server you're in. It puts you in a server.
No, you have to pay $5 to pick what server.
If you want to all of us play together, somebody has to buy a world pass. I mean, how weak, dude. Let's continue. Let's pretend that didn't exist, right? My characters, we used to play Final Fantasy for the PC. We played it for a few months. We had our time with it. We got out of it because it was a Japanese grind fest. Because if you don't spend every waking moment playing Final Fantasy, you're not going to get any of the good stuff. You're not going to level up in enough time, etc., etc. So we were like, oh, this is too hardcore. I need a casual game.
Well, that's like Warcraft. I have to stay up to like 1 in the morning to go fishing for a special fish just so I can cook something that I regain 5 mana every 10 seconds.
But you don't have to, right? I mean, that's not critical to the path of your character.
How I mine for fish! How I mine for fish!
What happens if you don't get the fish? I mean, can you not level anymore?
Well, no, you can't make that.
You can't give it to Jesus
food
to feed the whole alliance.
Where you can get that bonus.
But, I mean, really, it's like a secondary skill, right? It's like your cooking skill or whatever?
Right.
It's not, like, critical to the... Well, in Final Fantasy, once you hit, what is it, Keith, level 18 or something? You can dual class.
You want dual class, $2.
You dual class, right? In order to dual class, you have to kill these creatures that are like 4 times as high of a level as you are. And the only way to do that is to talk to a Japanese character who's like level 60, try and type monster help and like hope they understand what you're saying because the translation is a little sketchy. I wanted to use my level 24 or 20 something white mage. Fine, great, wonderful. Yeah, too bad that they only keep your character data on file for 3 months after you cancel your account. I spent all this time installing. I got into there and there was no character. And then I got into the actual game and I just said, dude, I remember how much of a pain in the this is.
Fight the bees!
Fight the bunnies! Fight the bees! Fight the worms!
I'm a healer. I didn't even have any spells. I don't even have they didn't even give me a free healing spell. I had to go buy it. With what? I had no money. So I had to fight bees with my punching and my stupid little stick. And I'm like, this game is stupid. And I uninstalled it and threw the box away. And let's face it, guys. The game is, what, 2 years old? And it was a PC title. And it sucked for the PC. So now you get it to play it for the Xbox 360 without the keyboard and mouse. You get to use the USB keyboard, the control, it's just, I would give this game a 0 out of 10. This is the absolute, this is...
Everything that's wrong with video games on the console.
Everything at the same time. Then some of these poor saps are buying this game for $60 or whatever. They're not really even aware that it's a monthly fee of $13.
Ooh.
Dude, $13. For $14 or $15, you get to play the new games. You don't actually need to have a purchased Xbox Live subscription to play this game. It will allow you to use their service. You can have just the free. Stay the heck away from Final Fantasy. Unless you have no life and you like to grind. Oh, God. I can't say enough bad about this game.
We all quit for a reason.
then you got to deal with all the Japanese speakers who, you know... they're camping your monster ground and they're just like selling, you know, saying to you like, shoes? Question mark? And you're like, what are you talking about? Get away from me.
Shoes!
So this was just, dear Lord in heaven, this game should have never come out for the 360. All right, I guess that's enough of me ranting about how horrible Final Fantasy is.
That was fun, though. Because I really hated that game.
Next topic.
Tom is back. Tom was kind of offended that we had a guy who wrote in, and he said, you know, hey, what should I buy, an Xbox 360 or a new PC?
He said something about he had this much to spend, what should I buy?
Grant me at least this. The really popular titles on the PCs are very different style-wise than the really popular titles on the consoles. Dude, I think the answer you have to give the guy depends on the guy's taste. The style of game that I like is generally only available on the PC. Investing more in the PC is always going to be a better investment for me.
I came at this from a general standpoint of quality of game and quality of product that you can afford for the money. Because I just tried to upgrade my system, and it was going to cost so much, I almost went out and bought a 360.
I could build a good gaming PC for $700. And that's going to be less than what PlayStation 3 is going to cost.
I do not think you can do one for $700.
No, time to throw it down the gauntlet. Let's put somebody else's money where my mouth is. If anyone out there wants a new gaming PC, you email Tom at mc4xlot.com. I will build you a gaming PC. I will FedEx it to your house. You can review it and then come on the show and tell us what. Just a year ago, I built somebody in my Day of Defeat clan a new gaming PC for $600, and he loves it. It plays all the games fine. You might not get 200 frames per second in Battlefield 2, but
40.
You know what?
Let's say 30.
30 minimum?
That's no problem. That's so easy. Oh, my God. This is no problem. Someone send me $700. Tom at mcfragslot.com. I will
send you
a PC.
No, you won't.
See, I specced out a PC at Adamant, and I even took into consideration keeping my hard drives in my piece of crap 5600 graphics card, and it was still $700.
What are you looking at? You grab an Athlon 64, which we're only talking about $140. Maybe a GeForce 6800.
That's where I'm coming from, because 6800 can barely run the games now. In about 3 years, when you can still buy high-quality games on your 360, that PC you bought will be a pile of crap, and you will not be able to play any of the new games that come out. Period. And that's why you get more for your money if you buy a console. I'm saying that knowing damn well that as soon as I get a job, the first thing I'm going to do is upgrade my PC and not buy an Xbox 360. Okay, can I bring up something else that we're completely avoiding? Is the fact that you have to buy an operating system if you want to do it legitimately?
On Windows XP, Home is $99.
Home? You f***ing noob.
Well, it's either that or go download one from a BitTorrent site. That's your option. If somebody's serious about this, you send me an email saying that you want a PC or not, and say if you need Windows. Because if you already have a copy of Windows, then you're not going to need me to install it.
I'm just saying, you're making the assumption, one, that they did have
this
the operating system, and two, that they know how to put the thing together.
Chair.
Three, all
when
the parts
you're
going to get from whatever marijuana.
When were you eating the Funyuns? We have spiders down here, Chris.
You're going to order that many parts at once.
When did you eat the Funyun? It's been laying right there the whole time.
Whatever.
Okay, wait a second. Someone else is having an argument. Well, I'm trying to have an argument.
All I hear is Heather in the background going, Chris, there's Funyuns and spiders. Why are there Funyuns and spiders?
We're having a serious discussion about PC versus console, and all they hear is you in the background going, there's Funyuns.
I think that's the best discussion of the show.
When did you eat these Funyuns?
They don't need Funyuns.
Bob was full rant. Bob was full on. And I was getting talked to about Funyuns and spiders. So pick up where we left off. I'm sorry. I broke the mood.
When I put this one together, I made it a point to make sure I had, like, you know, the really high bus speed, would handle the really high 3.6 processors and everything. And what comes out like 2 months later was the PCI Express. And so my AGP slot is crap now.
Well, yeah, and that always happens.
But exactly. So you're going to spend $700 on the gaming PC. In 2 years, not only will it not play the games, but you won't even be able to upgrade it because it'll come up with something else that you can't plug in that's required for all the newer games that are coming out. When the guy asked, what should I spend my money on? You're not even taking into account labor in putting this together. And you wanted to go home and be playing high-quality video games tonight.
I'm assuming that you already have a monitor. If you have a mouse and a freaking keyboard, dude, $700 is all you need to build a good gaming PC.
Just the box by itself, I don't think you can get one that's going to perform as well as Xbox 360 does.
And the offer still stands. If you have a monitor and an OS, right? Is that the two assumptions we're making now?
Maybe. I'll see if I could shoehorn the cost of Windows.
Dude, we can get
to $700.
That was fun. We actually disagreed on something for a change.
That was a big fun argument. By the way, spiders like Funyuns.
Next topic.
Forum question. Philip Willis had what influenced you the most in deciding what games to buy, video game magazines, online reviews, recommendations from friends, box art / information, and last option is DreamStation.cc.
Next topic.
It's time for our mailbag.
Mailbag.
So first up, we have Todd Kelly. He has a voice clip with some congratulations. He got it to us a little bit late, but that's cool. No biggie.
Hey, fellas. What's up? This is Todd Kelly out here in the Bay Area. Just wanted to congratulate you guys on 1 year in podcasting. This is like the number one podcast, the must listen to I got each week. Keep up the good work, and again, congratulations. Oh, yeah, and got to bring back Mo Llamas and Snoop Cosby, because he's cool. Late.
Matt H. from the UK has sent us a voice clip with some congrats. In addition to that, here, I'll play that.
Hey, guys, Matt here from sunny Southampton, UK. Just want to wish you a happy, if slightly belated, birthday, and congratulate you on the great work so far. You're informative and entertaining, and the show always feels like it's being presented by gamers with a genuine interest in the industry. Keep it up, and I wish you ongoing success.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Todd Kelly. Chris B. says, hey, guys, love the show. You're doing a great job, and in my opinion, you are much more informative and funny than the other, quote, leading brand, unquote, of gaming podcast. I have a question that might be of good potential for some good feedback. If, in Oblivion, you could carry over a weapon from another game, what would it be, considering the physics? We're talking gravity gun from Half-Life, the gonzo gun from The Suffering, giant floating hand from Black and White 2, etc., etc., etc. Glad you guys took the time to read this and continue your great podcast. See ya, Chris B. I don't know. I mean, if I was going to bring any weapon into a medieval game, I guess it would be like...
A gun?
A gun of some sort.
Yeah, I'd bring my car from Auto Assault.
If I can choose a disembodied floating hand, I will choose the disembodied floating hand.
Spider-coated Funyuns. This was from Nate Dog Cotta. Hey guys, great shows. Keep up the great work. The question I have is, I was wondering if you guys have played Far Cry for the PC and or Xbox. I have managed to not play either version and wanted to know what the difference is between the two and which one's worth picking up. I'm not really a fan of console FPS, but if it's a better game than the PC version, I'm willing to give it a shot. Far Cry for the PC is going to be better than Far Cry for the Xbox. Far Cry for the Xbox was a good game. Far Cry for the PC is number one, cheaper. Number two, much more accurate with the aiming. The graphics are better. You can see further distances, etc., etc.
You know what? I have Far Cry for the PC. I give it a solid meh. All these game sites gave it a really high ranking, but I was just underwhelmed, I guess.
I've only played it on the Xbox, and it seemed pretty good. It had the nice map editor and stuff.
Lastly, Nate Dog wants a ham sandwich, so... Metroid Nation gave us some stuff here. Battle On is a good turn-based RPG that's always growing. This is in response to these people wanted, like, cheap or free decent games. Star Sonata, he says, is the best PC game he's ever played for free. You fly around at a space dock, dock at space stations, and create fighter groups and stuff. Insane Aquarium is a good Shockwave game with PopCap, Feed Fish. I've played that one. It's all right. Grow is a nifty game.
Man, we're going to have a big list of show links, huh?
Soldat. All of us have played Soldat.
Soldat's fun.
Yeah, I liked Soldat. Come on.
It looks like a pile of crap, but it's fun.
Rambo's definitely the best.
We'll have all of these in the show notes. Thank you, Metroid Nation. Tonic BH writes, I have to nitpick over episode 53. You said the Gizmondo is a Tiger Electronics handheld. Actually, it's by a different company with the same first name, Tiger Telematics. And the last Tiger Electronics handheld will be that game.com, which sucked. Also, you had an episode 13 moment by saying it was actually episode 52 at the end, not episode 53. Tonic BH.
So, it was an Easter egg.
Yes, you found our Easter egg. Let's just continue the free good gaming trend. This is from Neil LaPointe, who's helped us out quite a bit. Neil LaPointe, I didn't want to post this on the forums because it sounds like spamming. The guy who emailed about the free online games, you recommended PopCap Games. They do very good stuff. Feel free to send him to our site as well, www.splashworks.com. There's an arcade link button. The games are free, although they are aimed at their clients, their licensed games. They're basically adu games or whatever, like catch the virus with new certs, and it's like a little cert and it runs around and catches the virus. So, but he didn't want to post in our forums because we have a tendency to label dudes as spam when they do such things. But Neil has helped us out more than enough in the past. I have no problem pimping his site. Anywho, have a great show this week and congrats on not losing it over the Nintendo Wii. The guys at 1UP don't have the same self-control as you.
It was too easy. Come on.
I know.
You know who'll be laughing? In the next-gen wars, Microsoft's number one, Nintendo's number two, and Sony's at distant number three.
Oh, could you imagine,
mark
dude?
Mark my words. Mark my words.
Riley from Brentwood, California. His gamer tag is Diablos216. He asked me to give it out, so. Now, is it just me or are games getting more sex appeal? For instance, DOA 4, the outfits are getting skimpy. Don't you think this is promoting underage porn? Also, you guys may not know this, but in Grand Theft Auto, there is a sex minigame.
God, I hope that's a joke.
Any game that shows much skin should be an AO rating. DOA shouldn't be AO, but the other two should, and that's why California is making an M-rated law. Yeah, there was a little thing called the hot coffee. Thank you, Riley. As far as games getting more sex appeal, yes and no. I think the ones that are having that type of stuff are just more publicized. I don't think it's gotten better or worse, to be honest.
I think it's stayed the same.
Graphics gotten better.
I was just going to say the graphics are better. It's the same amount of sexiness. They just look more like people now.
Jason O writes, Peter Moore, very nice. Congrats on your first year. Love the show. Great content. The staff is hilarious.
That was Brian giving his salute to Jason O.
All obligatory, albeit sincere, niceties aside, I have a question in here. I'm involved with a little site called Pocket Otaku. I'll put the link in the show notes. Sounds like schoolgirls and tentacles involved in that one, but he assures me it isn't. Pretty recently, they've started doing a podcast. They have a bunch of people hosting it, anywhere from 4 to 6. He gets into a bunch of other stuff. Basically, it's a nightmare. How do you record it? All of us use Skype. We're not big fans of Skype, but it's better than TeamSpeak. How much editing do we do in a show? Dear Lord God, a lot. At a minimum of, like, between, I don't know, 4 and 12 hours, depending on how many tracks and stuff. If we mention your show, we wouldn't hate it if you return the favor. That would be, you know, nice. I think the editing stands our show apart from everything else, where you hear a lot of people saying, Anyways, back to this dude's email. Thanks in advance for any help. It's appreciated. Thank you for producing such a great show. I honestly don't think we would have hopped on this podcasting bandwagon if it wasn't for you.
We're making our own competition.
We are. We're like crazy Frankenstein. We're creating our nemesis's
nemesis. The mountain.
I think that's probably enough of the show.
Next topic.
All right, so that was our show. If you want to check out our website, dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our downloadable show archive, send us emails. Videogameshow@dreamstation.cc is our email address. If you want to vote for us on Podcast Alley, excellent. We hope to have you guys back same time next week. The DreamStation forums, you can go there and vote for our poll topic. And Liquid Cheese has started the Best of the DreamStation Video Game Show podcast thread. If you have any requests, post them there. That dude's been doing a lot of work. And again, dude, send me some email. I will try and see what I have laying around. All right, so that's the show. I'd like to thank the four of you gentlemen for being on this week. And adieu.